Dykes Do Drag is a theatrical variety show, or a cabaret of sorts. There's lip-syncing, original songs, multimedia pieces, modern dances, anything goes. Gender play is what ties all the performances together, and gender play is also what brings performers to Dykes Do Drag in the first place, albeit for very different reasons. Perhaps you're familiar with the term drag queen, a man who dresses and performs as a woman. Or drag king, the term for a woman dressing and performing as a man. Dykes Do Drag takes these traditional concepts of drag to a new level. When you see a performance of Dykes Do Drag, you'll see women and men performing as both their own and the opposite gender. And sometimes you sit through an act seeking out clues to confirm the gender of the person on stage. That's part of the experience. You don't always know the gender of the person performing.
You know, in some ways it's quite serious. Like, they are presenting such an amazingly diverse spectrum of ideas, images of gender and sexuality, you know, like combinations I've never seen before.
Meet Kristen Van Loon. She's the artistic director for the Bryant Lake Bowl, where Dykes Do Drag performs.
I think in that way they're pushing an envelope wider so that, I don't know, it makes me think about how everyday life is a little bit of a performance, and what I choose to just wear when I go to work is a performance in a way. And maybe I'll tweak the gender a little bit more today, because I saw the edge go so much farther on stage.
If you've never seen the stage at Bryant Lake Bowl, know that it's what could be called intimate, but it's actually even smaller than that. Most interesting is that instead of a back wall, there's a curtain which, when moved, reveals windows and a door facing Lake Street. This opens the door quite literally to who can be included in each performance. Cars, pedestrians, you name it. This piece you're hearing is incorporating all of Lake Street. The performers, all women dressed in varying degrees of cowboy drag, lip sync from outside one window, cross Lake Street to find their way on stage, and even engage passers-by in a quick dance before strutting on stage to finish the song.
Almost every month, a new question comes up. What are the rules here? And I have to define the rules again, because they're pushing the edge of that, of what you're allowed to do in public, what you're allowed to be seen doing through windows, what kind of a mess can you make in here, what kind of audience interaction can you have? You know, another example is Mrs. Smith has been performing here quite a bit this year, and she consistently seems to be in character for like 5 hours straight and goes and hangs out by the bar. You know, so where does the performance begin and end? They're always pushing those edges.
Through the darkness of future past, a magician longs to see one chance out between two worlds. Carlisle, walk with me.
Here's Mrs. Smith, played by actor and performance artist David Hanbury. In this piece, Mrs. Smith, who looks kind of like a generic grandmother figure with her high gray hair and really horrible makeup, lots of blue eyeshadow, ghastly pale foundation, bright red lipstick, and it's outlined in dark lip pencil. She's doing everything wrong. Anyway, in this piece, the room is dark, save for the spotlight on Mrs. Smith, who is wearing an all-white outfit, complete with a sparkly, tassel-y jacket.
Take your breath away.
David's approach to Mrs. Smith differs in some ways from many of the other performers at Dykes Do Drag. Mrs. Smith is a character in the truest sense of the word. She has a developed backstory, albeit a bit of an absurd one. Most notable is the fact that her cat, Carlisle, has gone missing for the past 3 years, and she's trying to raise awareness through these performances in order to find him. Here's David.
And this is the thing that I think is somewhat unique about Mrs. Smith, is that there's always a story behind why or whatever she's doing on stage. So I want her to be depressed. I want her to be the opposite of fabulous, you know? Like the opposite of being a kind of blazing, amazing, sort of virtuosic, high kicks drag queen is to be an older lady who's like crying and depressed. So I thought, okay, well, why would she come here? And then I thought, well, maybe her dog died, or her dog ran away, or her cat ran away, and she's going to sing a song about it.
Do you hear how David talks about Mrs. Smith? He refers to her as she instead of me. It's as though she's an entirely separate person. David shared with me that so much of her performances are improvisational, and that he feels like Mrs. Smith speaks through him.
She wants to belong, but everything she does disables that. And she'll say, you know, I'm so glad you're all having a wonderful night, and truly mean it, and then say, I feel absolutely terrible. I'm feeling absolutely horrible. People don't say that, you know. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to go into work and be like, I feel absolutely horrible. I actually, like, want to die. Which is something that she will say all the time at the drop of a hat.
Do you remember me? Okay, that could have been about half that. But that was good, don't worry. My name is Mrs. Smith. How are you all doing tonight? Wonderful. I am doing absolutely terrible. So, that's that.
David deviates from the kind of gender play seen most often at Dykes Do Drag. For David, performing as Mrs. Smith isn't about exploring femininity or what it's like to be a woman. David says he's quite comfortable in his male skin. And, as an actor, performing Mrs. Smith isn't different from any other character he might play. What stands out is how David draws from personal experience to create and develop Mrs. Smith.
I definitely do carry, like, a feeling of non-belonging with me a lot. And not so much like, it used to be like, I'm misunderstood. But now, and it used to be sort of attached to social things, you know, oh, I'm gay, or I'm an artist, or I'm this. But I think now it is, you know, I'm an odd duck. You know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, I have some weird ideas in my head. And I don't feel necessarily like, oh, people are against me or that they don't like me. Like, I know that I definitely know that I have the support of my family and my friends, and I have an audience here that supports me and people who want to help create this work and all that. But I think I generally sort of walk around slightly feeling like I'm not quite here. How can I put it? You know, if I walk around with this feeling of displacement or whatever, separation, it used to create a great deal of distress. And, you know, I had to do a whole bunch of things, like through trial and error, to move past that. And in that journey of moving past that, I became exposed to this world of people who live in this zone of disorder. If you go crazy at some point in your life, which I did, you go online, you're going to meet some really interesting people in those forums, and you're going to read some stories that you can't believe are real. You know, at one point I was really involved in that, and so I picked up a lot of stories. And I use Mrs. Smith as the mouthpiece for all those stories.
No. you know, I don't normally appear on stage with other people because you can't trust other people. The fact that I'm here amongst you, the fact that just that I'm doing this right now, just that I'm doing this is a miracle. A miracle of psychological healing. Just to be in public around people, because you don't know. You don't know through that door, through that tiny little window, could come a machine gun with a maniac behind it and mow everybody down. It's happening right now somewhere in the world. Mow down. So I don't come into public.
So why does Dykes Do Drag work so well for this kind of character?
I think Dykes Do Drag is one of the most exciting things happening in the Twin Cities. I think it's one of the most exciting things that I've ever been part of, period. Because the audience is game for anything. And the audience can shift gears. They're game. And so implied within that is that they can shift gears. They can go anywhere. They can enjoy a burlesque thing one moment, they can enjoy a boylesque thing one moment, they can do Mrs. Smith, they can do a low-key drum and bass music, minimalist rock thing with Heather. They can go off the wall with a dance performance piece that makes no sense.
I do not do scat. I'm not up here doobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobadoobad
morbid. It can be political. It can be sexy, and it's just my favorite playground.
So how did this playground begin?
Text to Drag started. It was kind of born out of, at the time, I was a professional modern dancer.
Meet Heather Speer, one of the founders and the driving force behind Dykes Do Drag.
And there were a couple of other drag shows in town that, there was a drag king show at the Metro at the time, and my performer friends and I decided that there was room for more of that, both playing with having drag shows not just be drag king shows or drag queen shows, but really mixing up all of the gender performance that could be done and do it in a kind of with a higher sense of both entertainment but also performance quality, and mixing in lots of different performance styles.
Dykes Do Drag has been running for nearly 12 years. And looking at the larger picture, Heather hopes that Dykes Do Drag creates a space to help anyone who might struggle with where they fit in the world, gender-wise.
And I feel like there are so many people who struggle with their presentation to the world not being who they feel like they are, or having to present themselves to the world in a way that they don't feel comfortable with. So how do we create a space where we look at what all of those things we put on and take off that define our gender presentations, and how do you play with those, and how do you mix them up, and how do you just make people question their assumptions as to who somebody is or how they present themselves or where they are in the world, let alone on the gender scale.
Can I smoke in here? Am I bothering you? Are you alone? My tie on straight?
While Heather organizes and puts together each show, she also frequently performs. This clip is actually her lip syncing, and the gender transformation is extremely subtle, especially when compared with Mrs. Smith. The character Heather plays most often is named the Gentleman King. Honestly, I didn't think that Heather looked all that different on stage as she did when I met her. She has a soul patch for facial hair and a necktie, but there isn't anything overtly masculine. I do think the subtleness of her performance speaks to who she is both on and off stage, especially if you consider gender a spectrum, as Heather does.
What I was interested in terms of performing masculinity was trying to perform that the gentleman, the kind of standard of male masculinity that's not considered to be performative at all. And so, you know, it's not a lot of gesturing, it's not a lot of posturing. It's just more in how I would carry my body and how little or much movement I would perform, and how, basically like cutting it down and be, how subtle can I be and still be perceived as masculine? And so that's what I work towards. I, as Heather, I've never been good at being a girl or a girly girl at all. I've been feminine in wearing dresses at various different points of my life, but I'm always much more comfortable in a more, I guess, androgynous mode of dress and presentation. So I'd say that I'm in the spectrum, you know, a couple steps to the female side of the middle. I don't really know. and then I would see the Gentleman King as a couple steps on the other side. Like, not, I mean, there is something, if you look at, you know, kind of old movies of, you know, Fred Astaire and those kinds of characters, like, there's some kind of femininity about them as well, even though they're kind of the epitome of masculinity.
So, for David, Dykes to Drag is a playground to perform and develop Mrs. Smith. For Heather, it's about creating a space where it's safe to explore where you are on the gender spectrum. Now meet Shannon.
As a very young child, I definitely identified as male, and I was really confused as to why my body didn't match my brain. And as I grew older, I kind of pushed myself to sort of accept my female body. And then for a while, I was more focused on sort of the sexuality aspect, where it's coming to terms with, you know, liking girls. And then once I sort of felt okay in that, then, you know, that sort of, I became more comfortable in my body as like a more masculine presenting person. You know, I consider myself genderqueer, and I'm in that place, and I'll probably always be in that place, where I don't necessarily really identify with being a woman, but I don't necessarily feel like I would like to fully switch over to a male presentation either. Neither of them really fit. So I'll just kind of go back and forth, you know, between like my everyday life. I live as Shannon and people call me she, you know, and then in drag and in queer circles, people will call me Randy Dandy and refer to me as he, and so just kind of fluctuate on a day-to-day basis, almost.
Randy Dandy is Shannon's alter ego, and she often performs as Randy at Dykes Do Drag. Shannon says that since she's pretty masculine in her everyday life, playing Randy simply amps up what's already there. In this skit, Shannon is Randy, wearing a suit and facial hair, and lip-syncing to a song that was originally performed on Saturday Night Live.
Mr. Sandberg, thanks for coming to your performance review.
No problem.
So you're in charge around here, is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I'm the boss.
Okay.
What I do to become Randy Dandy is, starts off with binding my chest to make it flatter, which I'll use a frog bra, or sometimes several sports bras. Also, just have that sort of extra masculinity. I'll also, I don't know if you can use this in the interview, but I will use something to pack my pants, where it's an actual silicone, fairly realistic. And then with putting on, I put on facial hair, which is my own hair that has been I've saved from haircuts. And what I will do is I'll take the hair and I'll cut it up into very small pieces, and using makeup squares, I will put on my chopped up little hair to give the appearance of sideburns, or sometimes I'll put on a mustache or a goatee so it can be tailored to many different looks. And then I'll put on some stage makeup because there are lots of shiny lights coming down on us.
A spectrum of gender is a key part of what makes Dykes Do Drag so interesting. And it's embedded in the program in both thoughtful and exaggerated ways. Talking with audience members and partners, Eric and James, about it, you get the sense that you can read as much or as little into it as you want. Sometimes it's just fun to have the mystery.
Sometimes when there have been sort of more guest performances or sort of one-offs, people who don't participate regularly, we will have discussions as the number's going on, like, is that a man or a woman or someone in transition, or what's exactly going on with that person right now? And I have a closer straight friend who's a female, and she made the observation once, sort of in a flippant comment, that she was sort of planning what she was going to wear the next day, and we got to discussing just how you're presenting yourself each day is a bit of drag. You know, when I go to the office from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, it's, you know, the office persona drag that you present. If you're going to a Vikings game, you're presenting your Vikings drag.
That's drag. That's the whole, it's a costume. But that's kind of fascinating.
With all this talk of gender, I asked Eric and James if Dykes Do Drag was more than just entertainment for them. Here's what Eric had to say.
Just the way that I refer to it as a community, I'm not overly active in the gay community, but this, you know, it's a very regular part of my life. I've enjoyed going every other month for, you know, 7, 8 years, however long it's been. If it went away, I'd be really sad. I think other people perceive it that way too. You know, there are certain people that I really like going with. It's part of a routine. It's when I get to see certain people and spend time with them. So definitely has impacted my life in a way that's just more than mere entertainment.
Even though I kept asking myself whether figuring out someone's gender mattered, I found myself trying to puzzle it out anyway. And I left the show with the conclusion that ultimately it doesn't matter. Here's Shannon.
That's something that everybody takes away from it, is that you can't go to the show and not think about gender, because it's so in your face and morphing in front of your eyes. I mean, within pieces, genders are shifting, and I think that's probably something that most everyone thinks about when they go see the show, if not everyone. A show can be all funny, but a show can't be all serious, so it's good to mix the two. I want everybody to be entertained, because for better or worse, that's why people come to shows. And entertained in many different ways. Entertained in the laugh out loud, clapping, stomp your feet way. Entertained in the, like, oh my goodness, that burlesque is sexy sort of way. And entertained in that more thoughtful, like, oh, that was a provoking piece, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to think about that sort of way. So I'd like people to be engaged on a lot of different levels. And obviously, I think we're most known for our funny clapping, stomping your feet pieces, but we also do some really political and thoughtful things that I'm quite proud of.
And here's Heather.
I think that definitely I would love for people to take that sense of both questioning are they or aren't they, but then also accepting it, that it doesn't really matter. it doesn't necessarily matter what somebody, what a person's actual physical characteristics might be. You know, let them present who they want to be. Let them present who they're comfortable as. And, you know, you don't, on the one hand, it's not really important to you what somebody else is. You know, if that's their task, that's their, you know, path in the world, that it doesn't have to be scary to you to see somebody who is of ambiguous gender. And it doesn't have to be scary for you if that's you, and that you can be okay in the world and have there be people who just accept you for who you are, wherever you might like to be or wherever you might want to get to, but just accept you and accept that path for yourself. Mostly, I want people to leave having both had a good time, had their minds opened a little bit, challenged some assumptions, and hopefully leave them wanting more so they want to come back.
Mini Culture on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.